comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
And welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous planet, thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. It's talk radio like nowhere else on earth. It's the show where you matter. Our producer, Bob Brady, some people like him and some people just really don't, because he can be a little gruff sometimes. We've kidded about that here on the air, but it's true, he can be. A little abrupt sometimes, but he's a good guy, and he is a real asset to this show. Bob Brady, immediately after the show last night, was taken to the hospital. We had to call an ambulance for him. He was very, very dizzy, nosebleeds, and extremely weak. Could hardly talk, shaking. Don't know really what the problem is. He is in the hospital now, and I want to wish Bob all the best. And some of you have already received your K-Files for this week, and you saw the notice in there, or perhaps you saw on the website. And we're getting emails from folks around the world wishing Bob the best, and that's good. He is a good guy. And he really does a lot for this show, and has done a lot for this show over the past couple of years. So I wish him the best. And as I say, we really don't know what the problem is right now. They're doing tests, and they say they'll be doing tests till close to midnight tonight. So maybe tomorrow we'll know something, or in the next two or three days we'll know something about that. K-Files already went out, and the reason is I am in the midst of a massive project, so I couldn't wait until after the show tonight. I had to go ahead and send the K-Files out, and so you've already received them. Now, those of you who didn't receive K-Files because you haven't subscribed, well, why not? It's free. And it's a good publication, absolutely free. There's no reason not to get it. So just go over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, click where it says K-Files, and subscribe. You can unsubscribe anytime you want to. There are people that subscribe, and they have one of those filters on their email so that they can't get email unless someone clicks a link. You know, if I send them an email, I get an email back, and I have to click a link and confirm. That isn't going to happen because the K-Files is all automated, all right? It's automated mailing. So if you got one of those filters and you want to get the K-Files, you need to set up an additional or different email account that's just open, so that the K-Files can come to you, okay? So if you subscribed and you're not getting it, that may be the reason. Our members area, hey, you know, we continue to get some rave reviews about the members area. People that are joining, I'm getting comments like, man, I should have joined years ago, and I had no idea how good this is. So if you're not a member, you really ought to take a look at what's in the members area. You can do that. You know, we have a new message from Commander Bruno over there on the left side of the website. You might want to take a look at that. And then click where it says join. That doesn't mean you're joining, but you can see what's in there and what other people are saying about it. All right, my guest this evening is James Horak, and we will be back with James Horak right after this. James Horak has been my guest here on the Kevin Smith Show a number of times. Each and every time, the calls just stack up. And way more calls than we can possibly get in during the time that we have available. Also, each time that he's been with us, we have focused on a particular topic. And we talked about that topic. And then when we opened the phone lines, you could call in and talk with him about what we'd been talking about. Well, I asked James to do something different this time, and he agreed to do so. He is with us tonight. He's my guest tonight. I've asked James to do this show as an sort of an open mic show, open line show. It's not BYOT exactly, okay? With our regular open line, and we say it's BYOT, bring your own topic, we'll talk about any topic within our genre. But, you know, this has to be something kind of, it doesn't have to be focused on something that you've heard him say, but it can be. But it needs to be, you know, something that you wonder what James Horak has to say about your topic, whatever it is. Because that's the way we're going to do it. You can call in, and we're going to do this as an open line with that little caveat or that little variation in the way we do open line. So your whatever topic you want to talk about and you want to discuss, you're calling in to talk about it with James Horak, okay? Let me welcome James Horak to the Kevin Smith Show. James, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kevin. How are you this evening?
I'm doing well. Are you up to doing what I just described?
I think I'd enjoy it.
All right. Folks, what we're going to do is we are going to open up the telephone lines and invite you right here early in the show to call and talk with James. Now, we're doing it this way. Let me explain why we're doing it this way before I open the phone lines. I've gotten lots and lots and lots and lots of email from people. Each time James has been on the show, and a lot of people in our chat room in the members area have been asking about, you know, when is James Horak going to be back on the show? And the email, you know, oh, I wish I could have asked him this. I wish I could have asked him that. And so that's why I asked him to be available to simply give you the opportunity to ask those questions. As you probably heard, I didn't have the ringer turned off on the telephone. And we have a caller already, but let me, before we take that call, caller, just hang on. Before we take that call, let me give you the telephone numbers, and then we'll take the call. The main number here in the Kevin Smith Show studio is 623-444-5889. The toll-free number for Canada and the USA is 888-223-4599. Now, if you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, I don't have a toll-free number internationally. Couldn't find one. Couldn't get one. So what I did is I created something for you called the Flash Message. So if you're outside of the USA and Canada, go to my website and click where it says Flash Message, and send us your question or comment. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin and James. It's Jackie from Florida. And I guess I was meant to be first this evening, so I'm a little nervous being first.
Oh, don't be. No. Don't be nervous being first.
Okay. I'll kind of calm down. I was going back over James's past shows, and I kind of had two questions. The last time we kind of talked about Roswell a little bit, so this time let's go move forward to age six. And I wondered what had happened, what was revealed to you, James, that showed you that this was your mission to study this experiment called us here on Earth? And also, what is the cause of our split mind, the aberrancy and the things that we have which come from our split mind? Can we go there a minute?
Hello, Jackie. Very interesting questions and require a lot of expansion. I didn't fully realize the plan.
I can't hear you.
Yeah, you will have to sit closer to your microphone.
Can you hear me now, Jackie?
Yeah, just go ahead, James.
I didn't realize any overall plan. I just knew there were things operating that I couldn't explain, and that there was no one that I could talk to about it until I would say an incident that I had in the Navy that I've talked about. And as far as purpose, I would say that I've always been interested in people that could think beyond their immediate circumstance. I had a stepfather that was very grounded in what he believed, and very conservative, but an extremely good man that I respected. And so that was a kind of what I used as a model of expectation for the people that I came across in life. And I knew that if I couldn't communicate with him, that I probably couldn't communicate with humanity in general. And it was only later on when I found people that were more outside the box. As far as split consciousness goes, split consciousness is something that it's a form of duality that we sublimate because it's here in the human existence. If you have something you can't change, if you can't alter it, you can't denigrate yourself because the condition exists, the human mind will attempt to sublimate it, and so that's what we've done. And in sublimating it, we've even concreted it in more. It's a condition that is a result of being in an imperfect environment and compensating the wrong way, and then eventually in the compensation mechanisms, it's just like in the sublimation process, you concrete it in. Now, since it has existed, and it existed from an imperfect environmental condition that was artificial and should have been adjusted, there are people that have opportunized it much the same way they opportunize war and disaster. And in doing this, they have found ways of enhancing it. And that keeps the mechanisms in place that allow them undue control and an exercise of massive proportions over our economic, our government, and our military structures.
Did that answer it for you, Jackie?
Well, Kevin, I don't know if my volume is having a problem or yours is, but I'll have to catch him when I listen to my repeat tomorrow.
Okay. Now, we hear you just fine, and we hear him just fine, so there must be some...
Good.
Yeah. All right, thanks for the call. All righty, 623-444-5889 is the telephone number here in the studio. It will work from anywhere on the planet. And if you have a question for James or a comment on something that you understand that he has said, this is your opportunity, this hour and next hour, your opportunity to see what it is that he thinks about your idea, whatever it may be. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
I can't believe I got through. It's Heidi from Manitoba.
Hello, Heidi.
Hi there. Hi, James. Hi, Kevin.
Hello, Heidi.
Hi, my question is, I'm interested in how our universe is governed, and my sense is that there are various levels of governing bodies in place, but I would like to ask you, James, if you could share with us what your understanding is of what these governing bodies might be, who they are composed of, and just whatever you can toss our way, I would be interested to hear that.
Well, that's very broad. Generally, the mechanics are pretty much the same, although different conditions exist elsewhere. I would like to kind of deal with this part of the galaxy, but because basically the conditions and the patterns that exist here are the same elsewhere. You do have exceptions, and you do have different conditions that change and alter time, that change and alter the way in which light travels through any medium, and all of these things affect consciousness. There are parts of the universe that are removed from our concept of reality and of existence. And sometimes I suspect that's where these cultures that elevate to the highest form of manifestation go. They're remote to me. I know they exist, and I suspect that sometimes when people have extraordinary circumstances, they may be in touch with some degree of these beings. But the mechanics, the physical laws are uniform in texture. They are not always uniform in application, and they change and they alter. As far as organization, there are certain patterns that are innate, and that pattern is that you aspire to a certain level of technology, and it becomes if you outdistance firm observances of law equally applied, and you allow certain social evils to be perpetuated that don't become part of the evolutionary process of growth, then you get to a stagnant point where technology begins to work against you. And that's the situation on Earth, and it is a big barrier to overcome, but once you overcome it, then you proceed further. Then this condition, this pattern, is uniform throughout the universe. I mean, there are variations in how it manifests in particular, but in principle, it's the same. We all are seeded from the same sentient source. All intelligent life comes from but one source. And over millions and millions of years, the variations have extended beyond even corporeal existence for intelligent species, and they've adapted, they've changed, they've altered many things, but they basically are the same with respect to abiding by certain laws and having a moral core. And the absence of placing the proper value on these things here has allowed the conditions to exist which threaten our extending beyond that barrier.
All right, Heidi, thank you so much for the call.
All right, thank you.
All right. 623-444-5889. This is your chance to have a little fireside chat here with James Horak. And any question that you have for James, we certainly would love to hear that question and hear his answer to that question. You know, we've talked about a lot of different things in the various appearances that James has had here with the Kevin Smith Show. And I think one of the first times, if it wasn't the first time, certainly it was the second time, one of the first one or two times that James was here, we talked about these things that are these giant things, huge things that are in orbit around our sun and showing up in the photographs, the SOHO photographs. He calls them EMV, which is an abbreviation for electromagnetic vehicle. And perhaps we, you know, if you don't have questions for James, then perhaps we can go back and talk about that a little bit during the show. We want to give you the opportunity. You've been sending me email. You've been asking when is James going to be back on the show. And so we want to give you this opportunity. And, you know, if you avail yourself of it, fine. If you don't, then, hey, we've got things we can talk about. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin and James, this is Mark from Los Angeles.
Hello, Mark.
Hello, Mark.
I can't hear James, but I do have a question in reference to those EMVs. I asked this question the first show that James was on, and I didn't quite understand the answer or get an answer, but he was stating that these vehicles hold souls. And the question I had was, is he explaining this as those vehicles are what we would call heaven? And I didn't really get an answer that satisfied me, so I was just wondering if he can explain that.
All right.
I think that the concept of heaven is taught through mythologies on Earth are rather childlike. I remember my grandmother talking about streets of gold and having stars in her crown and so forth, and she was very fundamentalist and very taken by looking at it that way. I think the idea that we continue to have purpose and community and to share knowledge, I think those far exceed the childlike attitudes that we are taught and values that are given and applied to perspectives of what we call happens to life after death. But I think if you refine it a little better, and that you apply a more purpose to it, I don't think I think the reality so vastly exceeds the fantasies that it's wondrous. And you, when you are in, when you refine to spirit, and the soul and mind combine, I think the actual manifestation of being able to share in a community that's immeasurable and it's endless in knowledge and experience, I think that's just the most wonderful thing that existence can give you.
All right. We have to step away for a break, and when we come back, we'll open up the telephone lines again for you. Your opportunity to talk with James Horak. I don't know why people on the phone say they can't hear you. We hear them, and we're hearing your voice, and it's all broadcasting fine, so I don't know what the deal is. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is James Horak. And as a matter of fact, he's in the studio with me, but requested I not put a camera on him. And so the camera that I would normally use, I'll show you what it shows. The camera that I would normally use for him is has got a, you're seeing a picture of my wife and my son on the wall over there. He didn't want me to turn the camera toward him. I don't really understand that, but he's here with me. If you have a question or a comment for James, the telephone number is 623-444-5889. That number will work anywhere in the world, and because we're doing this sort of as open line, but he will be answering the questions. Because we're doing that, you have more opportunity to call in, and we have a little bit more time for you to be online with him. 623-444-5889 from anywhere on planet Earth or Nibiru. From Canada or the USA, if you need to call me toll-free, you can do so, and it is 888-223-4599. And then if you need, if you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada and you have a question or a comment that you would like to address to James, you don't want to make the international call, you can use the flash message feature. And we have from Steve in the United Kingdom. Have you made your decision, James? Do we have your blessing to continue our existence? Also, can you explain, are aliens actually demons? But is it our perception of demons that's wrong? So let's take the first one. Caller, hang on. We'll get to you in just a moment. James, the first one, have you made your decision about whether we continue or not?
No, you won't.
Wait a minute. Pilot error here. Okay, now we can hear you.
No, that's obvious because you're still here.
Okay, there you go. All right. Can you explain about, are aliens demons and we just have a misperception of what demons are?
I wish they would take the word demons out of the dictionary.
Okay, so they're just aliens or other than us.
Well, you can manifest things if you believe enough and have a collective consciousness with another group, conjuring, that sort of thing, but that's not real. You can force belief anything into existence for whatever purpose, but rational people that are outside that paradigm, not going to share.
All right, there you go. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. Hello, James. It's Stefan in Quebec City.
Hello, Stefan.
Hello, Stefan.
Hi. James, I was wondering, within the Milky Way galaxy itself, is our planet as a planet unique, or are there other stupid civilizations like us?
Well, you know, you all go through a stage of stupidity, and that's common. That's to be taken into consideration, but you don't have to institutionalize it.
Okay, but are there others like us?
Oh, yes, yes. Both in time and presently.
All right. So there are others like us.
You that have reached a point.
In our current plight?
I'm sorry, Stefan?
In our current plight?
Oh, yes, yes. I mean, you have to, just in our general area of the Milky Way, there's probably right now, I would estimate 7,500 to 10,000 just like you.
Boy, it looks like it's in a big international universal rescue operation going on then.
I wish.
Not that unique.
I wish.
Stefan, can you hear him?
No, not at all.
Not at all. We don't know why. All of the equipment is set just like it was for last night's show, and we don't know why. But maybe we'll figure that out. But, yeah, he says there's 7,500 to 10,000 civilizations out there just like this in our galaxy.
That's a lot of messed up people.
It is, isn't it? It is.
All right, thanks a lot, guys. Great show.
All right, thanks, Stefan. All right, 623-444-5889 is the number. Or you can use the toll-free number, or you can send me a flash message. If you're not in the USA and you're not in Canada, we'll take a flash message from you, and we'll be glad to read it and get James to respond to it. James, 7,500 to 10,000 civilizations just like us, are they less advanced, more advanced, same as us, or what are you saying there?
Well, in all those conditions, I mean, none of them are exactly alike. None of them are at the exact same stage, but they're all nearing this situation where they either make it or they don't, and that, of course, depends upon change for the better.
Okay. All right, we're going back to the telephone line, and let me just say that we don't know why, if you're on the telephone, you can't hear James. You can hear me, but you can't hear him, and we're both coming through the same mixer. Now, that's weird. I don't know why, but it's transmitting. So when you call in, go ahead and ask your question, and then you may want to return to your radio or computer or cell phone to listen to the answer. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, James, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hi, Brent.
Hello, Brent. How are you?
Just fine. I can hear James through Kevin's mic.
Ah.
His mic isn't working.
Oh, his mic is working great.
But, well, it's working for broadcast, but not for the telephone.
Yeah, and isn't that weird? Because it has to go through the telephone to get out to the broadcast. That is weird. Okay, Brent, what do you have on your mind?
Now, James, I'm wondering, this is kind of a lengthy question. what do you know, if anything, about the energies that are focused by the pyramid shape? And can they be used to heal the split mind? If so, how far can we go with it, or do you know? And I'll hang up.
Okay, thanks for the call.
In consideration of the pyramids and machines, vast machines that exist in a grid around the Earth, just above the mantle, yes, this situation of split mind can be lessened in ill effect by changing certain astrophysical anomaly that cause a varying gravity wave on Earth, that can lessen the ill effects of split consciousness. You're born with split consciousness as a condition. It doesn't really manifest and develop until you're taught to dissemble as a child, so you don't hurt Aunt Heliot's feelings. But you grow socially acceptable only when you learn to guard your tongue and to change how you manifest the truth, or don't manifest it. And this develops a social condition which causes that the conscious mind become more and more fearful of the subconscious, and to develop a larger and larger gap between it, and it's this ambivalence that accrues to this that keeps the brain from its full potential, and keeps the mind from developing facets that you know, we don't see. Things that allow people to grow in prescience, to develop telepathy, to be able to actually represent extraordinary abilities that we're capable of as a species of exhibiting. The pyramids were built to endure, and that's vital to interpreting why megalithic structures have certain things in common around the world and from different periods of time. They're built in such a way, and the pyramid is the absolute enduring structure. In coordination with other things, I'm sure many things can be achieved that have never known to exist before, because they've never been in the same time frame exploited in any way beneficial to mankind across the globe. The pyramids have never been studied methodologically in any adequate way, because they've never been fully discovered and explored. And they're all over the world. They're even in Antarctica. So until that's done, drawing up a synopsis of evidence, one that can confirm what I say, is just totally impossible. So mankind is left in the dark, basically, about their purpose, about why they persist, about why they run through so many civilizations in so many spectacularly similar ways. So that question, that mystery, is going to be going on for a long time. But you have to understand that these things exist because of a disparity, not because they're advantageous.
Okay, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller. And the caller is not ready to speak. 623-444-5889 is the main number here in the studio. You can call that number from anywhere on the planet, all right? It will work. The toll-free number in the USA or Canada is 888-223-4599. And if you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, then you can call us, or you can send us a flash message if you don't want to make the international long-distance call. James, we have a flash message from Australia, and it starts off by saying that he can hear you just fine in the broadcast. Caller, hang on. Don't give up. We'll get to you in just a moment, maybe after the break. But we're going to deal with this flash message here. And it says, when I was a young child, I had a dream or experience of some kind where I found myself in a bright place that seemed to be like the inside of a rough white tube. But it felt so wonderful. More than bliss, it was such a strong sensation that for many years I missed it as if I had become instantly addicted to that feeling. I know this sounds like a religious question, but it happened, and I was wondering if it refers to some kind of natural state of our souls or awareness. And we've got 1 minute less than.
Suffice it to say, you've been there before.
Okay. And is this the natural state of the soul?
Well, no, it's the elevated state of the soul, and for some reason you've chosen to come back into this mess.
Okay. So there you go, Carl from Australia. All right, folks, we have a break coming up, and let me ask the caller, are you willing to hang on through the break?
Yep.
Okay. That was short and sweet. Yep. Okay. All right, caller, as soon as we come back from break, we're going to take you first up, all right? Ladies and gentlemen, it is James Horak night, open mic with James Horak, and you can call and ask him about any of these really deep subjects that are on your mind. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening, James Horak. And James, we have a caller on hold, so let's go there. Caller, your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, it's John from Vancouver Island.
Hello, John.
Hi. I can hear you, Kevin, but I can't really hear...
Yeah, we know about that.
Okay. This is going to sound a little weird, James, but... I'm part of a very small, what I would refer to as a ground crew, and what we've been mulling over is forming an after-death club, and the purpose of that club would be that when we're on the other side, if one of us is tempted to come back to a planet under these circumstances, then the rest of our friends and the members of the club will say, Remember what this is like? Remember how the oil gusher and all of that, and there wasn't anything you can do, and there's nothing, you had no power, and you were totally ignorant. Remember what that was like? So is it possible to form a club like that so that if there's a temptation to return to these conditions, that you got friends and members that will remind you that maybe it's not such a good idea to return?
Interesting question. All right, James, what do you think about that?
Well, that's very utilitarian. I think that'd be very interesting, but it's not necessary because as a soul or a spirit inside an EMV, in a chamber of the EMV, you don't lack for knowledge. You don't lack for awareness. In fact, it's endless. It's all you have to concentrate and focus on the questions and the curiosities that you may have about the others, and it comes to you like love. So, you intelligently make that decision, and you make it based on whatever reasons that you may have to come back. And you're reinstituted into a cell so that... You may be you may come back in the form of a woman or of a man. That's not your determination to make. But when you come back, it may take a while for patterns and things to come back to you, but you're going to adhere to many of the things that you had and knew before. And eventually you may have dreams and you may have ways in which the past communicates with you, but you're serving some kind of a purpose, and there is a design already made out in which that purpose will be fulfilled. And it may be a small thing, it may be a large thing, it may be meant for someone you care about, it may be meant because you want to establish some kind of a profound statement. It could be anything. It will not change the course of history, but it may change the perspective for somebody involved in that course of history.
All right, 623. John, by the way, John, thank you for the call. A very interesting question. 623-444-5889 is the number to call. If you have a question or a comment for James Horak, this is your opportunity. Probably the best opportunity you're ever going to have to just ask whatever it is that's on your mind and see what James has to say about it. Probably the best opportunity you'll ever have. 623-444-5889 or toll-free in the USA and Canada, 888-223-4599. And caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, it's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
Hello, Terry.
How are we doing?
Good.
I guess I'm going to play the devil's advocate because I got some questions for your guest. I'm not quite in the belief of reincarnation due to pretty much the scientific proof of our world and the people who has been here before and have been gone, you know, and I'm sure that they didn't come back as sheep and goat or other people. I mean, there has been some people that believe they have past life visions, but I don't think that's really they live that. I think they're tapping into the ether, and it's something that's close to them for some reason, but it's not really past life.
So, okay, let me ask for clarification. What I understand you to mean is that when they think they're having a past life memory, it's not actually their memory, but they're tapped into something else. They're tapped into the, what can we say, the Akashic records. They're tapped into someone else's memories, someone else's data. So it's coming to their mind, but they don't really remember it. It's someone else's memory. Is that what you're saying?
They really, their mind, because of the way they perceive it, they and the way probably the psychiatrist put it across, probably make them believe that they believe that it's their life, but they're actually seeing something, tapping into something for a different purpose that is close to them. You know, it could be a past, relatives from, way back when, and for some reason, they're psychic and they're just getting stuff, and then they're, saying it's, believing it's them.
Okay. James, what do you think?
Well, I think the best example of what I've been talking about with respect to people that, as you say, reincarnate, is that there are certain kinds of people that are compelled to be world travelers because they have an inner compulsion they can't explain to go out and find something, some connection that they know exists and that will unfold things for them. They feel incomplete in that respect, but they have a powerful sense of expectation. And sometimes they go out and they do find that extraordinary person or that extraordinary event that they become a part of that they will example. For instance, General Patton believed that it was a reincarnation of Alexander the Great, and he believed this when he was at West Point. And it just so happened that he became one of the greatest war generals in modern history. So you have to look at this, how this facilitates the power of the personal sense of expectation. And then you begin to wonder, you know, that is a design, which is is one aspect or evidence that there is such a thing that we describe as reincarnation. Now, I'm not talking about reincarnation as a principle of religion, but reincarnation is something that a spirit may decide to do to accomplish something to affect people that they're concerned about or love.
All right. Terry, did you have another question or comment?
Just a quick comment. That last caller kind of touched on something, you know, I kind of believe in. You know, he kind of thinks, you know, passing on, you know, knowledge, you know, for like oil spills and stuff. But I believe that, you know, when we pass on and we evolve, you know, and we come back or whatever's going to happen, it's going to be like it was before. You know, we're not going to need oil and stuff. You know, we're going to have the powers like they had in the past, you know, that they're becoming aware of today. And, you know, that's not even going to be an issue, I don't believe. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for the call. Suddenly, we have begun to get bleed over from some radio station. Some of you are probably hearing it in the background. That's not us, and it's not our equipment. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Are you willing to hang on through the break?
Yeah, sure, Kev.
All right, you hang in there, and we'll get you first up when we come back from the break. This break is going to take over in about 20 seconds or so. And this is your very best opportunity, if you have a question or comment that you would like James Horak to answer or to comment upon. This is your best opportunity to do that, perhaps the best opportunity you ever will have, okay? You do that by calling us at 623-444-5889, or you can call us toll-free at 888-223-4599 if you're in the USA or Canada. And if you need to call me toll-free, do so. If you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, we have the flash message option for you. You go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and you'll see a link that says flash message. We'll be back right after this. Back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest in studio this evening is James Horak, and we are saying that this is probably the best opportunity you're ever going to have to ask him any question you want to ask. We have a caller online. Caller, your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. Hi, James. It's Boomer, Lady Smith, BC.
Hello,
you guys?
Boomer. Hi, Boomer.
Hi. Okay, James, let me see if I've got this right. We came into this earth, it was our choice to come here for a lesson of the experience of duality, and the way to get out, or not get out, to leave the experience, I guess, to complete it is basically try to be the best person you can be and try to, you know, raise your consciousness through through meditation, is that probably the best? And does it all kind of curtail around the Earth, you know, going to a higher state around the 2012 area? Anyways, that's it. Thanks, guys. I'll listen off the air. Have a good weekend.
All right. Thanks much.
Nothing real is obedient to schedule on Earth or anywhere else.
Now, wait a minute. Say that again.
Nothing is obedient to schedule on Earth or anywhere else.
Okay.
This is what the biblical connotation, "Be ye not keepers of days, months, or seasons," means. There isn't a process that's connected with the elevation of the soul. A lot of people try through self-improvement, thinking that there is. And, you know, if you're becoming a better person and you're trying a certain pattern of behavior to correct flaws and weaknesses, that's noble. But the spirit is not at any point imperfectible. So that's beside the point. And that's why when the immortal soul unites with the mind, becomes the spirit, it isn't discriminated against. There's no reprisals against it. It goes the same place from everyone. And, you know, I know that people that hate Hitler are disturbed by that. But if you'll stop and you'll think that the spirit that leaves Hitler is not Hitler. And when you arise to that awareness, I mean, you're getting there. But when you are confined to view everything in terms of limited application, you're not closing in on the spirit. You're not closing in on the spiritual. What you're doing is you're just trying to take the box and slide it across the floor. So no, that's not correct.
All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, this is Charlotte from Washington, D.C.
Hello, Charlotte.
Hello, Charlotte.
Hi. And I was interested in Terry's comment about reincarnation not being scientific, because it does seem like it's often treated in a very literal, sort of childlike way, like, because every person is born completely unique for time, place, genetic background, etc. And there could be other explanations for why someone feels very connected to an individual from the past, if we're all connected anyway. And also, it's a pretty vast universe out there. Why would, even were it possible, would people keep being reborn here? And,
now, that is a very good question. I want to pause for a moment and let James answer that. I like that question. If it's such a vast universe, why would any of these spirits want to come back and keep coming back to here?
Very rarely do they come back to the same place, the same condition, perhaps. But, you know, the universe hates redundance, and the spirit hates redundance. So, you struck on something that I've been very eagerly awaiting.
Okay, but we have people that say, you know, they do a past life regression, and they remember having been here maybe 4, 5, 6 times down through history. Why? Why do they keep coming back?
Well, I think that they are concerned about a pattern. I really can't give you an answer to that, because my association with spirits is on a very limited basis. I've never been in a chamber. I've never been able to really confront a spirit. I see them in passing, and it's very seldom that they ever deal with me at all. But a spirit can exist. It's such a high potential of energy that that they don't relate to anything that's not at that level. And that may be one reason why cultures that aspire in toto to a higher level of existence, a spiritual existence, and don't incorporate with EMVs, why they go somewhere nobody, you know, and are totally disconnected from everyone else.
Okay, Charlotte, did you have another question or comment?
Well, I didn't really hear most of what he said. I'll listen later. Also, it seems like societies that believe totally in reincarnation, there is a tendency not to, to feel that everyone just deserves what is happening to them and not to implement much social justice unless they move beyond that. It's just kind of dangerous. I have noticed sometimes with people who take it very literally, a kind of smugness towards the sufferings of others, you know, oh, it's because of what they did in a previous life, as if anyone can understand what anyone has gone through in this life, much less these hypothetical previous lives. It's very...
Well, you know, you have in Christianity, which most of the Christian denominations do not buy the idea of reincarnation. But you have in Christianity, in the New Testament, the exact same concept that you just described, where there was, I don't remember, the guy was blind or he was crippled, and the disciples asked Jesus, is it because of his sin or his parents' sin that this has happened to him? So there was a concept that, hey, he the condition he's in, he deserves it, but why? Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. People rationalize it all kinds of ways. That's true. Yeah, I'm not really coming from a particularly Christian perspective on it, but yeah, sure, you can find that there.
And now I'm going to ask James, since that concept appears in these cultures that believe very strongly in reincarnation, whatever your condition is, well, you deserve it because of your past life. That concept, in a little different variation, also exists in the New Testament with that story I just told about the disciples. So let me ask you, is that just a concept that emanates out of our humanness, or what's the basis for that concept even existing among us?
Well, I think that we are aware that this is going on, and we are shaken by an experience that usually is passed off as deja vu, but it can be good and it can be bad. And since Christ was brought up, Jesus Christ, I think that the most spectacular thing about Jesus Christ is he submitted himself to the human condition to actually own up to empathy. And that is that's the most beautiful religious view of a God that I can imagine. But reincarnation plays into doctrine sometimes, and then after it plays into doctrine, it's used or opportunized in teachings that are favorable to a type, a form of society. And so, not every soul reincarnates. I mean, ideally, in the metaphysical, you have 144 years of improvement or perfectibility of the soul, which isn't true. Like I said, the soul, the spirit, is perfectible. It's perfected. The idea that it evolves like a human condition or whatever is anti-spiritual.
All right. Charlotte, thank you so much for the call. 623-444-5889 or toll-free 888-223-4599. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, this is Kathy from Las Vegas. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, how are you, Kathy?
Good, thank you. There was a video on YouTube that's purported to be an unreleased transmission from the Apollo 20, where they had a woman with some sort of homeostasis device being removed from her, and I wondered if Mr. Horak had seen the video and had any ideas like where she came from, what they may have done with her after that, And if whoever she is from, if they know that she's gone, and if there's any sort of retaliation that may be coming from having taken that off of her. Thanks.
Uh-huh. Thanks for the call.
I haven't seen the video, but I understand that that's a possibility. And there is no punishment exacted upon humanity on Earth for what may happen to an ET or an extension of an ET civilization in what they're doing here. I mean, it's like you come here, you're on your own, whatever happens to you, if you can be retrieved without interfering with the culture, but you have to take what comes. And they, if they're careful, they have a means of doing that.
But, so it's if they decide they're going to come here, it's they understand it's at their own risk.
Oh yes, yes.
And what does that say about us, that there has to be sort of this galactic or universal disclaimer put on coming here?
Oh. Well, you know, that's kind of like a warning label, I guess.
Yeah, if you decide you want to go to Earth, you can. But it's at your own risk, and whatever happens to you, and we're not getting involved.
No, well, that's pretty much it. I mean, well, that's the only way it could be, because this is an experiment, and you get nowhere with an experiment you intrude upon.
Okay, that makes sense. 623-444-5889 is the number that you can call from anywhere on the planet. It will work. If you're in the USA or if you're in Canada, we have a toll-free number, 888-223-4599. And if you're outside the USA and Canada, you can send me a flash message. And I have one for you, James. This is from Davey in the United Kingdom. And it says, "Hello, Kevin and James. James Edgar Casey, I believe, talked in terms of prophecy being subject to change. Are the EMVs, or what surrounds them or controls them, also subject to change? Does one affect the other regarding the totality of consciousness in terms of its organic nature? Are these intelligences facilitators, observers, or subtle subjugators? Surely they also depend on our feedback. After all, nothing exists in isolation."
Well, the ultimate source of the EMVs and the purpose for which they're designed, I would attribute to nothing other than God. Now, I can't define God for you, give you an idea or anything, because I'm as remote from the face of God as you. And the EMVs are biological machines, and they are capable of emotion at just such an incredibly elevated level that they can communicate with it. They can affect energy levels of suns. They can intensify. They can form energy. They can reduce danger to planets. They do this on automatic pilot.
All right. And let's go to the telephone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. Hello, James. It's Brian from Burnaby.
Hello, Brian.
Hello, Brian.
Yes, I was wondering, James, if the late Terence McKenna had a theory that the universe was evolving through time, getting more and more complex, or more and more complexity as times were evolving. I guess more intelligence and more complexity of I don't know if he meant that totally in the physical sense. I think he meant that also on the mental and the moral plane as well. And I was wondering what your idea would be on that subject.
I like that very much. I look upon the universe as growing through consciousness, and that without moral core, there's no direction. And that even astrophysics, what may seem happenstance, has been guided in designs driven by moral purpose.
Okay, I know you probably didn't hear that because there's something weird happening with the phone equipment. But were you able to hear any portion of his answer?
Yes, I'm hearing him through your mic as well.
Okay, very good. Very good. All right, do you have another question or comment?
No, I think I'll let someone else carry on here. Thank you very much.
Okay, Brian, thanks for the call. 623-444-5889 is the number to call, and you can call it from anywhere on the planet. Or if you're in the USA or Canada, 888-223-4599. James, I want to go back to this thing that Davey wrote about from the United Kingdom. Is there any sort of feedback that the EMVs get from us?
Not in your conscious sense. You have a tug on you from the EMVs once you've been there. Like the dream that the gentleman was talking about, being inside one.
Okay. But are they doing, I guess what I'm asking, are they doing whatever they're doing totally unconscious of whatever we're doing?
No, they just have a different consciousness. It's not like ours. It has a wisdom of its own, and it has an emotional power, an emotional feeling that's just, I can't describe it.
All right, now the there are some prophecies among the Native Americans that say that, and especially the Native Americans in Central and South America, that say Quetzalcoatl will return, and that the sign of his return will be the serpent in the sun. Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
What in the world does that mean, the serpent in the sun?
When that sign is made, when the EMVs line up across the sun, can be seen, that's the serpent in the sun, and that is the end of this experiment.
So what do you mean when they line up?
They'll look like a snake. They'll line up across, like they were one thread across the sun.
Okay. So they make a formation. They get into a formation of some type, and that formation will look like a serpent.
Yes.
As we look at it against the sun. And why is that the end of this experiment?
Well, that will signify the end of the experiment. It's not the reason, but it'll signify it because they're a devout people that have kept that tradition true, and that is their form of reward. They were shown that at one time, and they were warned that keep this tradition, and when the time comes, no matter what happens, you will retain the experience because you were devout in keeping the history.
So they don't get wiped out with everyone?
No, they'll get wiped out, but they will, when they go to the EMVs, they will be aware and have the wisdom of what happened here. No one else will. Everyone else will go to the EMVs, but they won't retain any wisdom. They'll be wiped clean of what happened here.
Okay, so if this experiment comes to an end, we see the serpent in the sun, and then it's over. This experiment is over, and physical life here is finished. We go to the EMVs. What next?
This time, the Earth will become a sun.
The Earth will become a sun?
Yes.
Okay.
This will be a binary system. And then you will see an amazing civilization on Jupiter. What's forming there now? and it will need two suns.
Okay. You know, you always say something that blows my mind. Look, I understand that's a very small explosion, but you always say something that blows my mind, and that one blows my mind, because I would have thought that Jupiter would be more likely to become a sun.
No.
Well, I understand that you said that it would be the Earth that becomes a sun. I understand that, but why Earth as opposed to Jupiter?
Because the Earth is damaged. What's going on in Utah that I've described before is holding this planet together. Nothing else is. This planet is not stable anymore.
Okay. We've got a flash message from Mr. Fewings in the United Kingdom. He wants to know, is it the moon that is responsible for locking man into his five senses?
You mean not allowing him to extend beyond the five senses? Yes. It has a part to play in that, and it's partly because the moon and the Earth observe an unnatural parity. And the fluctuations that are constantly being made on the moon and affecting its gravity field affects Earth, but that's not the only factor. And the mechanics that went on to capture the moon for the Earth in order to make the Earth a stable living planet, like was once Mars when the moon was around Mars, these mechanics have been unstable in the last over the course of the last quarter of a million years or more. So what you've had is you've had an unhappy environment for the evolution of the human mind. And that's been exploited and perpetuated. It could have been adjusted, but there, you know, you have what is a class-driven society, and the powerful at the very top have exploited this. And over time, such a vast amount of time, their leadership has lost the connection and tradition to know it.
All right. Caller, are you willing to hang on through the break?
Yep.
All right. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show with James Horick as my guest in studio this evening, as a matter of fact. And we have a caller online, so let's go straight to the telephone. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob calling from California.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, I just had a quick question for Mr. Horick, and then I'll hang up afterwards to see what he comes up with.
Okay.
Okay, not to sound skeptical, I have no idea exactly how things work, but what of the science of people such as ourselves or human-like or anything like that as far as the gravity on Jupiter? It says if you weigh like 200 pounds, your weight there would be about 472.8. Would the beings be made out of titanium or something, or would we be strung like ants? Okay, thank you.
Good question. What about that, James?
On some of the moons of Jupiter, people live under ice. We think in terms of limitations based on purely material existence, and that can be changed and altered in so many ways just by the way the mind self-perceives. So, no, these conditions, extreme as they are, they have been exaggerated by science because science has a tendency to want to dehumanize the aspects of personal adaptability, the power to heal, the power to reach beyond the limitations that are imposed on us by media and civilization.
Well, also, one of the things that I say quite often, when scientists tell you, well, the conditions on that planet they're not conducive to life, that's not true. The statement should be, that's not conducive to our life. And but who's to say that you couldn't have life there? They would look at the Earth and say, well, that's not conducive to us. You know, and I've pointed out before, we breathe oxygen. Now, this is one of the most corrosive elements in the periodic table. Oxygen will bring down steel bridges. Oxygen will bring down skyscrapers. Because that's what causes rust. You know, the actual word for rust is oxidation.
Very good. Very good. Yes.
So we think, well, oxygen's a good thing. You have to have it. Well, it is good for us. But if you were sitting on Titan breathing methane and you looked over here at Earth and you said, how could anybody live in all that oxygen? You know, like we look at that and say, how could anybody live in all that methane? But life... If scientists say life happens, all right, I don't know, but if life happens, it has to happen within the context of wherever it happens to be. So if life just happens, then it happened here on the surface of this planet using oxygen, because oxygen is what we have at surface. If it just happens, if that's the way life is, and it happens on Titan, well, it has to be life that we could use the word evolved, using whatever is there. And apparently what's there is methane. And so there's a group of scientists now, an international group of scientists, looking into the possibility of life forms having evolved based on something other than carbon, water, and oxygen. And they say we don't really know how to look for it, but they're looking for it.
Well, what I'd like to add to that is the mind has such a powerful expectation. And I've talked before about there being genetic combinations that we have potentials to exhibit under certain conditions, and stress controls a lot of those conditions. So we really don't know how adaptable we are, even within one lifetime.
We are told by scientists here on Earth that in times past, when the dinosaurs were here, there could not have been humans here. I think they're wrong.
They are.
However, there are a lot of reasons for that, and what one of the reasons is they say, well, the pressure, the atmospheric pressure, was greater, a lot greater than it is now. The content of oxygen, the percentage of oxygen in the atmosphere, was significantly greater then. And we could not have survived it. And they say the flip side of that is a dinosaur could not survive in our current conditions because there's not enough oxygen in the atmosphere for them, and there's not enough atmospheric pressure, and they would suffocate. But we see people adapt, don't we? Now, I'm wearing a headband on this hat that was given to me by Jerry Wills. This headband comes from a village high in the Andes where there's a whole lot less oxygen than you and I are breathing right here at the surface. Those people survive in it. They don't notice there's any problem.
And they're more robust.
Well, yeah, I would say you'd have to be more robust just to climb up and down all those mountains that they're on. You would have to be.
They've adapted, and not only that, they're better for it.
So the thing that we think has to be in order for life to exist, the things we think have to be in order for life to exist, are really fictional.
Well, they don't take in consideration the broadness of human adaptability, which is spectacular. And there have been experiments run on that have proven that. The attempts right after World War II to make an aquatic man, they succeeded. They just couldn't bring the person back that they had altered to be able to survive underwater with a breathing structure of their very own on a combination of surgical and elemental changes.
Well, wait a minute. You're saying that after World War II, there were experiments to create a human that can live underwater?
Right.
And that it succeeded?
Yes.
Let's park there. I've not heard of this. There's not too many things that I can say I've never heard anything about that. This is one of them. I've never heard anything about that. I want you to tell us about it.
They took these volunteers. These were men on death row. And this is the Navy. And they made some changes. Now, I can't tell you exactly what the changes were, but I can guess. And then they filled their lungs with a combination of peroxide, and they were able to breathe underwater. And they put them in the sea, and they were fine until they brought them out, and it wasn't reversible. They couldn't make them into aquatic or terrestrial breathing people anymore.
So what, are they still swimming around out there?
I imagine they terminated them, but I think between now and that was around 1948 that they've perfected that ability. I'm sure they didn't stop trying.
All right, let's go back to the telephone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. Hi, James. This is Leslie calling from Forest Grove, Oregon. Wow, I can't believe I made it.
Is this the first time you've called us?
No, this is actually the second time. The first time I called, some kind of weird stuff happened, and I got kicked off, and I could hardly hear you. But
you know, I remember that. We didn't play any applause for you then, so let's do it now. So there's you some applause.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, I just kind of had a thought, and by the way, James, I love, you know, hearing you and everything, you know, that you have to say. There is a lady, it was Lakota, and a woman. Her name is White Buffalo Calf Woman, and she had said, and I'm kind of paraphrasing this, and I'll get to a point here, and she said that if you truly join your heart and minds as one, whatever you ask for, that's the way it's going to be. And she says, if you do it that way, the power of the universe will come to your assistance if your heart and mind are in unity. And just kind of one thing I've noticed is seems like nowadays there's a lot of, you know, predictions about, you know, the end of the world and devastation, and it just kind of seems to me, I mean, we definitely need to know, you know, the consequences of our actions, but just kind of a thought that if we all focus on the negative, then maybe, you know, that's how we're going to have it, you know, if that's the way it's going to be, if that makes sense.
What do you say, James?
Yes, I think that the power of expectation is based on hope. And the adepts have all believed through the ages that if you could create a perfect understanding or model of something in your mind, you could manifest it in reality. Now, who's to say that they were wrong? There certainly have been some extraordinary feats that have been performed by people that you know, we don't know historically, but we only know through tales of people that watched them do things. And you know, Tesla, in modern times, Tesla is an extension of that. He was merely here when science could fabricate some kind of context to make it more palatable to the masses what he could do, but he was a wizard. He was a wizard because he understood things in nature that those around him didn't. So if you're looking for something, a device or a mechanism under which this lady's predictions can be true, you may never find it, but in Toda, I would say she's right. The power of expectation is capable of doing a lot of things, like I was talking about before, making a phenotype out of a genotype for a selective advantage to survive. There, who knows just how far that can be carried, but when we're possessed of an instituted limitation that's imposed on us, like where we can live and where we can't live and where what we can, it weakens our sense of expectation and our ability to direct these changes when we need them.
Okay, Leslie, you have another question or comment?
No, that's it. Thank you so much for taking my phone call.
We're delighted you called. All right, 623-444-5889 is the telephone number. It will work from any place on planet Earth. If you are on Nibiru, try it. We'd like to know if it works. In the USA or Canada, you can call us toll-free if you need to, and that is 888-223-4599. Outside of the USA and outside of Canada, if you don't want to make the international call, you can send me a flash message by going to the website. Scroll down, you'll see a link that says flash message. We'll be back right after this, so don't go away.
That was a sweet girl.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening, James Horak, and we're on final approach. That means we only have just a very few minutes left till the end of the show. James, we have a flash message that has come in from Australia. The question, the statement in question, do the EMVs manipulate the mass of Earth somehow? Earth becoming a sun? As suggested, even Jupiter is way smaller than the required mass to become even a brown dwarf. I respect James very much and do not mean to be disrespectful. I know he knows that. But for Earth to become a star is incredible. And even if it did, such a small and distant star would make little difference to the moons of Jupiter, surely. So is it much more complex thing that we're looking at, or are we just way off in our understanding of astrophysics? And then he says, goal-directed. I remember that. So, yes, I can imagine many ways it could be done. All right, what's your response to that?
You have to understand that the astrophysics that have been explaining the mechanics of solar systems is not correct. I mean, they're absolutely incorrect about a number of things. And first of all, ask them to explain how any star can survive at the energy levels most are at and not burn out in billions of years. There is something implementing or fueling them. And this can be the EMVs, because energy can be exchanged in a variety of ways and can be fueled in a variety of ways that are not explicable in terms of your so-called modern science. And the Earth can become a magnitude star over time with the same kind of engineering feats that design this situation, this configuration, that the solar system could become stable around its fusion star that you're in the middle of now. So, yes, these are things, and your question's very intelligent, and I appreciate it. But, yes, the Earth can become a magnitude star. And can grow in magnitude to fit the design that, for which it's intended to perform.
Well, as a matter of fact, there is evidence that the Earth is and has been for throughout its life expanding and growing.
Yes.
It's much larger now than it was a million years ago.
These things are not happenstance. It's one of the things that I've constantly professed about astromechanics, and that is that that there is a design here, that there is an order, that there are mechanisms involved which allow a continuation of a system to become friendly to civilizations of sentient life and to allow them the lineage to get to a point to see whether they're going to be fit and capable to get over their own barrier. And if they are, then there are a lot more options that some people can imagine and some can't. But the options are unlimited, because once you get to a point where you can survive your own technology and you can do so without such monstrous designs as depopulation and an elite that is virtually soulless, you can do anything, and you become a part of those that have moved on to much better things. So it's something to look forward to. And you know, whatever's going to happen is going to happen, and you live on the threshold of great discovery by seeing it. So take heart.
Well, I think that's an important message, because, you know, we hear so many horror stories about what's ahead of us, and virtually every religion has the horror stories of the end of time. Certainly you have it in Christianity, you've got it in the Native American religions and prophecies, in many of the prophecies of the old world, which we talk about, Sumeria, we talk about China, Egypt. There are all kinds of prophecies in these places having to do with just horrible things happening at the end of time. And I think what happens a lot of times, if people become convinced that we're living at the end, and maybe we are. I mean, maybe we have just lived the last day of human life on Earth. Have you ever thought about that, folks? Maybe this one was it, and we don't wake up tomorrow. You didn't know it. You went through today. Everything happened as it was supposed to happen. You didn't know it was the last day, and bang, there it is. It's over. Could be. But I think when people become convinced that we're living in the end days, the end times, it is easy to say there's no hope. But in every one of these religious prophecies, regardless of the religion, about the end time and the horrible things that will be happening, it's not the end of the world, it's not the end of time, it's the end of this paradigm. It's the end of this age, and something else takes its place. And in all of them, what takes its place is always something better.
Agreed.
That was short and sweet. You just did to me what Walter did last night. I made a big speech like that, and Walter said, "Right."
I didn't have much to add to it.
But I don't think, I personally really don't think in terms of it's hopeless. I think if what you want to do is resurrect the old paradigm and things will continue as they were and just not be as bad as they were, I think that's hopeless. Because everything has a life, it has a start, it has an end, and if the old paradigm is reaching its end, it's reaching its end. And what you have to do is embrace the future. And I usually say, get your surfboard. If there's a tsunami coming, you can't stop that. So get your surfboard and be prepared for the ride of your life and embrace the future. I don't think everything is going to be wonderful every single day from now until the definite end of the paradigm. I think there's going to be some tough stuff. We're looking at the BP oil gusher. That's yes. some tough stuff.
Yeah.
But even though everything is not going to be wonderful every day, there is hope for what's beyond these days, and there is something beyond these days, so saith the Kevin. What do you think, James?
Well, I agree with you, and I think that that's the best attitude to take. I would hope, and I would be overjoyed to see mankind pull it out of the fire and genetically grow to a point where they could overcome what's going on. It takes a community of thought and action and a desire to prevent the old ways from ever coming back. And you can do it, and you can be part of an extended community almost overnight.
You know, we face the end of old paradigms in our history, in our recorded history. There was the feudal system, and we faced the end of the feudal system, and people that were part of that feudal system could not imagine what was coming next as they saw the feudal system with the kings and lords and everybody with all this absolute power. As they saw all of that crumbling around them, they could not imagine what could possibly come after that. All they could see would be days of chaos and disorder.
Well, that's what they were told, and even the church told them that.
But here we are.
Here we are.
And so we, at this point, maybe we can't see beyond this paradigm, and we can't imagine how could it work in what's coming after this. But something is coming after this, and we'll make it. James, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Kevin.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's it. That's a wrap. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. And you can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.